Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. The show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, Elite Vacation Homes is the place to go. They have homes from 2 to 6 bedrooms, they have pools, they have game rooms, and they have outside barbecues. So contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to rent a DVC hotel, if you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Contemporary, contact David's at davidsvacationclubrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to podcast number 141. I'm joined by my good buddy, Den. Den, as always. Hey, Den, how you doing? Pull up a stool.
Good, Doug. Good morning.
Yeah, that's my new nickname for you, Den Den.
Den Den. Yeah, I've been called worse.
Yeah, so have I. Trust me. I've been called worse within the last half hour.
Yeah, exactly. If that's what I get called today, I look at that as a good thing.
So how you doing, my good buddy?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Just continuing through this this brutal New England winter we're having here.
Absolutely. It stinks for you. We're getting rain today. You're getting snow, so.
Yeah, we got a couple feet coming, so they say. So it's just, it never ends. 30 days, though, till today, till I hopefully can get down south and get back to Disney World. So that's the only silver lining, if you will. I know my trip's right around the corner.
Yeah, instead of the silver lining playbook, it's a silver lining snow book.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like I say, I just hope the day we leave that we can get out of town, and if that happens, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to hearing your whole trip. We're going to talk a little bit about your trip coming up, you know, the excitement of it, the different ADRs you're going to have, and we'll cover all that after we do a little bit of news.
All right. Awesome. Buddy. Yeah. Couple things happening in the wonderful world of Disney. Starbucks at the Disney's Animal Kingdom is set to open in summer of 15, and this is the, I guess you'd call it, the fourth of the Starbucks locations that have gone in at the other three theme parks. This one is the being built, or I guess remodeled, if you will, in the location of the former Creature Comforts. And I know we covered this earlier, but this week some pictures came out of the outside of the building and some of the artist renderings of what it's going to look like when it opens. So we got the trolley car cake, and now they're moving on to the one over at the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, like, because of my wife. She'll be able to get her Starbucks at all four parks, and that's a major thing in the morning for her.
Right. Well, all four parks and two locations at Disney Springs, too.
Yeah, each side, so you don't have to walk from one side to the other.
Hmm. Yeah, so. It's crazy. I mean, just it wasn't too long ago where, you know, Starbucks was not even on property, and now they're everywhere. And, I mean, you know, I like Starbucks, so I mean that in a positive way, but as you mentioned, they're done in a tasteful way. Each one is unique and different, I think, depending on which park they're in, and they kind of blend in with the surroundings, and it's all good.
Yeah, they hold up the Disney integrity. You know, there was none of the outside. Everybody on the outside when it first came out was crazy, worried there was going to be all Starbucks, mermaids everywhere. And
right.
when it was all said and done in the grand scheme of things, there's no mermaids hardly.
No, and you know, I think it, it gives people that like Starbucks the opportunity to get their favorite coffee brand. And as we know, not so much you, Doug, I know you're not a coffee drinker, but people really didn't care for the Nescafe coffee. And that was always a general comment from almost everyone that enjoys a good cup of coffee in the morning, that they were very disappointed in Disney's offering of coffee. So, I mean, between this and the Joffrey's kiosks that are opened and have been opened, actually, for the last couple of years, now you can get a decent cup of Joe, as they say, when you're down there at Disney World.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to eventually. I wonder if they'll drop packets or what I'm hoping when all things are said and done, maybe in all the rooms we'll have the Keurig, the minis.
Yeah, I would think so. That's a little more user-friendly, and it's less wasteful than brewing a pot of coffee. And then, you know, most of the time, you know, it gets emptied out or whatever. They may do DVC resorts, and if anybody's out there listening, not if anybody's listening, but when you hear this, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Joffrey's does offer coffee. They have those, it's not a Keurig, but it's like a, I call it a puck, but it's like a pad of coffee, if you will, in some of the coffee makers. So I know where you're going with this, Doug. Eventually, maybe Starbucks and or Joffrey's might just have the K-cups right in your room so you can grab a cup of coffee without actually going to one of the parks or, you know, Disney Springs to get it.
Or, yeah, you can bring your own with you. It would be nice for them to have the K-Cup machines in the room because of you don't have to worry about filters. You don't have to worry about grounds. You don't have to worry about it's done. It's clean. You throw the pot away in the can and you're done with it.
Exactly. I'm going to guess in the coming years that will take place. But it's like everything else, you know, if you think about it, as many rooms as there are on Disney property. Yeah. You might think, well, what's the big deal? What's a coffee maker cost? You know, if it costs us $99, I mean, Disney's going to buy them in quantity. They're probably going to get them for, you know, $30 a piece or whatever. But still, 30 times the number of rooms that are there, you know, it's going to be an expensive undertaking. But I think they're heading in that direction.
Yeah, eventually it'll be like, well, Starbucks will pay for this part, Joffrey will pay for the other, blah, blah, blah,
right.
And they're paying nothing, and everybody gets K-cups,
right,
is what I think will end up happening, because the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Exactly, but that would be just so much easier, and like
well,
I said.
It would be nice, too, for like hot chocolate, tea, you know, I mean, everything's mm-hmm. individual. It makes it a lot easier in the room. And then they
yeah.
could sell the K-cups down at the general store.
Right, you get that, and then, you know, you could still buy a, you know, a pastry or a breakfast sandwich or something like that and have a quick breakfast before you head out to the parks. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I can eventually see Disney characters on the K-Cups. Get Goofy's yeah. grill. You know, get Goofy blend.
Yeah.
Mickey blend. You understand?
Yeah.
I mean, I could see all that coming.
It's funny you say that. You'll remember this, I know. Disney actually does have their own brand of coffee. If you go like in the kitchen store down at Disney Springs or mm-hmm. Any of those locations where they sell all that stuff, they actually do have a Mickey Mouse coffee, whatever. I think they do hot chocolate too. And this was like 5 years ago. I bought they only sold it in like the 1 pound cans, if you will.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen them myself. I know
right.
exactly what you're saying.
And I brought it home and I wanted to like it because I thought it was cool. It was Disney coffee. I would gladly accept a cup of Nescafe over this stuff. It is nasty. I don't know if they bought all the beans from the other coffee companies that didn't make the grade or something. And I'm telling you, it is nasty. Like I said, I tried it and tried it again. And, you know, I had it all. Next time I go down, I'm going to buy a case of it so I have it for the year, and that's going to be my coffee, but I just couldn't do it. It was nasty.
No, I've heard stories it wasn't that good, but hopefully in the future they'll have a better coffee, hot chocolate, stuff like that, where it would be pretty cool to go down and buy a pack of K-Cups for the wife or a K-Cup hot chocolate that's Bambi or, you know, Winnie
yep.
the Pooh or, you know what I'm saying.
Well, it is interesting, though, that and I know this because I just bought some, but Joffrey's has actually been at a lot of the DVC resorts already. When I say the resorts, the restaurants, I mean, and you can actually go on their website, and they have coffee, the actual coffee that they serve at the Wave. They have the actual coffee that they sell at the California Grill, Narcosis. I'm not doing it justice. There's probably about 15. Oh, there's a Kona blend that they sell at the Kona Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, I think that that's what I think Disney's going to do is they're not going to their own blend, but they will have the coffee that's served at their restaurants and resorts available through a third party. In this case, it's Joffrey's, but I'll bet you, you know, Starbucks might come out with a special Disney blend or something that's only specific to Walt Disney World or something that you could probably buy on their online store or something like that.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm surprised if it's called the Magic Kingdom blend or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, which would be all good because we all like that Disney connection when we get back home. So that's why I like it. I mean, I bought the Joffrey's. I want to be able to drink something that I could get at Disney World if I was there.
I would do the hot chocolate for sure.
Yeah.
Not the coffee.
Right. Well, we got to get you going. We'll get you on Mocha and we'll grab
it. I try it every year because I'm outside freezing my tush off.
Right.
I want to like it. And there's certain ones, the vanilla, the French vanilla and all.
Yep.
It smells awesome when I go into Wawa's and I'm freezing.
Yep.
And I'll buy a cup or a cup. Hello. I'll buy a, you know what I'm saying, a little cup of the plastic cups, not the regular cup.
Right.
And I'll get a cup and bring it out. And I'm all ready and it's warming my hands up. And I take a sip and I just can't do it, man.
Yeah, I mean,
it like bites my throat on the way down every time. It's horrible, and I want to like it. I've tried all these different blends. My wife, sip this one. You'll definitely like this. Or when she gets the iced coffees, she'll make me try it. I want to like it. There's something about it I just can't wrap my taste buds around.
No, hey, you know, everyone has their thing, and, you know, there's no right or wrong to it, but, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll come out with something down the road that you can, it's just like somebody that's a beer drinker or something. I mean, I know people that they just don't care for beer. It's,
yep.
You know, it is what it is. They don't like the taste of it or the carbonation. I don't know what it is, but they're just not beer drinkers, and that doesn't make it right or wrong. They just don't like it.
Yeah, my wife can't drink beer, and I can't stand wine.
Yeah.
Anything wine's good for me is cooking.
Yeah. I used to be like that. I used to hate wine years ago, and I gradually, came to first just kind of accept it, and now I can go either way, beer or wine. It depends on what mood I'm in.
Yeah, I can't wait to one of these days where maybe I'll like it because the red wine's good for my heart and I should be drinking it, but I just can't do it.
Well, you can drink the Welch's grape juice. That's good for you too, right?
Absolutely.
All right, moving right along here. Tom Staggs has been named Chief Operating Officer of the Disney Company. He's got 25 years in, and he's currently or was the chairman of Walt Disney Parks Resorts, of Parks and Resorts, rather. And, you know, he's getting a promotion, so we've heard that name over the years. You know, he's been instrumental in almost everything that's happened at Disney over the last 15, 20 years, I'd say. So I don't know if this is good or bad. Again, I'll use my saying, he could stick his head in my window and I wouldn't know who he is.
You got a lot of people sticking their head in your window, man.
But,
you better lock that window, Dennis.
I know. But I've heard the name quite a bit.
What he's taking over for Meg Crofton, isn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's who he's taking over for.
Yeah,
we could be wrong.
Yeah, I know she just retired or is retiring soon, one of the two. And, you know, it's you know, promotion from within, which I think is a good thing. He knows the product. But then again, on the other hand, if he had a hand in the decision to get rid of Off Kilter, then I'm not so much of a fan.
I heard they played at his son's wedding.
Right.
He loves them, Dan.
Well, because he is chairman of Resorts, I gotta believe that passed his desk in one way, shape, or form. Even if it was in the fine print, I don't know that he was directly involved in the decision, but he had to have signed off on it, I would think, given his former position. But anyways,
we won't blame him for that. He was over in Hong Kong while all that was going on.
Yeah, he was asleep at the switch then, we'll say. But again, we'll see where this all goes, and you know whether it will affect, you know, me and you and every other guest, and that decisions they make at a high level do trickle down and affect the end user. So we shall see.
I'm waiting to see if anything changes. We probably won't notice it for any time soon.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing we'd notice if he announced it, he's going to, you know, freeze all ticket price increases for the next 2 years. He'd be very popular then.
Yeah, we'd put him on the float in the parade every week.
Exactly. I don't think that's going to happen, though.
No.
No.
More of a chance of going up two times instead of freezing them for 2 years.
Right, right. Let's see here. I don't know if you saw, Doug, but the aerial view of the Magic Kingdom hub work, that was that come out this week. It looks nice. It looks beautiful. It looks very symmetrical and well done. And this is the first time I've seen an overhead. I mean, we all saw that it wasn't a rendering, but it was actually a video. Remember the video they showed when they first started this of how
yes.
it would look? It was like a 360 view, if I recall. But that, to me, was a little confusing. I couldn't really
wrap your head around it.
Yeah, it went so fast, and it was just hard to visualize what it was all going to look at. But if you haven't seen this aerial view, just go online. It's everywhere. But check it out. It looks pretty nice, and there's still not done, which is disappointing to me because I wanted to be done for my trip, but it looks like they still have a few months to go at least before that's all done and open back up and we get to see all the work that has been done.
I'm going to miss the water though.
Yeah, I it's going to come back in some regard, but I don't know if it's going to go under the drawbridge or the castle like it used to. I think they may just stop it at either side. It looks like, again, it's hard to tell. But
yeah, it looks like it's all basically going to be filled in with mostly land all around that area, and the water's just going to be off to the right going
Correct.
Into Tomorrowland.
Correct. That's
and
what
then over by where the the next water you'll see is over by the, I can't even think of the boat ride.
Liberty Bell?
No, Skipper, with the Skipper ride,
the Jungle Cruise.
Hello, yeah. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Couldn't think, but, the water to the left, the first will be Jungle Cruise. In the back, you'll still have it where the riverboat is, and then you're going to have a little over by Tomorrowland is what I'm seeing all along that area.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the biggest things. The reason why they did this whole thing was to gain more square footage for, parade view, fireworks viewing and getting the parade floats around there a little easier. So that makes sense, Doug, that I guess they would have to have, removed some of the water feature, if you will, to make, to put some concrete down and make some more walkways or make the actual hub larger so it can accommodate more guests.
Absolutely. They needed more to get rid of the congestion there.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely needed. I mean, we all loved the way it was before, a little quaint, and, you knew every square inch of that place, and it'll be kind of weird getting used to it, but we've seen change, and we will see more change, and I guess we have to embrace it because it's going to happen whether we do or not.
Absolutely. It's going to look beautiful. It's just going to take a little bit to get used to. It's like I was more opposed to this than I was with the Fantasyland.
Right, right.
Because Toontown was never my thing. I mean, it just wasn't my thing. And I wasn't upset with that. And I think Fantasyland, they knocked out of the park. I think this will be nice and really, I think it'll be up to Disney standards. I think it's going to be nice to be able to step back and breathe a little bit in the hub when something's going on.
Yeah, I think so, too. I just hope that it isn't all not that it all would be. You need to have a passageway, I should say. But, I mean, I know they're big on giving, part of the fast pass selection process is, premium viewing for different fireworks and shows. I just hope it isn't all roped off and it's all fast passes. I mean, I hope that anyone that's in the Magic Kingdom on any given day can, enjoy the hub and, be able to just show up and watch a parade or a show if it's when it's showing.
No, absolutely. I hope everybody can use it.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm sure there'll be a certain amount of it that'll be, not private viewing, but fast pass viewing or whatever. But we shall see. I'm not going to stress over that right now. We'll see
how
it opens up.
It's done. It's moving forward. We just got to embrace it.
Exactly. Let's see, what else do we have here for news? The Art of Shaving opened down at Disney Springs. I know we covered on our, not our last show, but a couple of shows ago, that a couple of the stores had opened, and there was a third one that's almost ready to open, and the Art of Shaving now is open down there. So that's, again, that's all good that these things are starting to open up, and we're starting to see the some of the fruits of the labor down there from all this construction that's going on.
Yeah, you going to get a shave and a haircut down there or no?
I'm seriously considering getting a haircut. I just got one. When did I get one? Just last weekend. So I'll be about due by then, a month from now. To answer your question, probably yes. Just have that experience and check it out. I probably will.
Yeah, because it has a nice little barber pulse going on out there. It has the black and white one. I'm used to the red and white one.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But no, I'm definitely going to check it out. You know, get a probably not a shave, but at least a get a haircut down there, and that way I can report back to you and the listeners, you know, what it's all about, and take some pictures, and it'll be fun.
I want to get one on Main Street.
Have you ever gotten one on Main
Street?
Nope,
I've meant to many times and just never have. One of these days, I will.
Yeah, I've gotten many a haircut there, and you got to be able to play around, though, because they will put pixie dust in your hair. You will leave there with blue in your hair, and if you're really wigged out about your hair, no pun intended, you may not want to do that. But yeah, they have a good time with you. They play around, and if they know you don't really want stuff in your hair, you're definitely getting stuff in your hair. So
that wouldn't bother me in the least. The thing that is with me, right, is I'm so used to getting it cut, it's like tradition right before I leave.
Yeah, and it all washes out anyways. It's not like they're dyeing your hair or something. But I have seen people in there, particularly men that get their hair cut, that, you know, they're just freaked out by that. And, you know, I don't want none of that. You know, they're all serious. And like I said, if they catch on that you're, you know, not in the mood to have pixie dust, you're getting a whole lot of pixie dust.
Exactly. But that's all good. Yeah, I one of these days, when I move there again, I say that about everything, but I'll go there and get it done, because but up here with me working, my hair is always cut short.
Right.
I don't
right.
like to look all disheveled going into people's houses all the time. You know, even though I'm in construction clothes and crudded
yep.
up, mm-hmm. I still like to be as presentable looking as this face could possibly be.
Yeah. No, that all makes sense. And yeah, I mean, that's one of those things, and I kind of get where you're coming from. I mean, as we say over and over again, your time at Disney is so precious, and time is money, and you want to do everything that you can't possibly can. I mean, getting a haircut is something that, you know, it's probably going to take an hour and a half out of your day by the time you get there, get in line, and, you know, depending on when you go, because they don't take appointments there. It's walk-in only, and, you know.
It'd be pretty congested.
Yeah, exactly. And again, you know, obviously whoever you're traveling with, if they're not getting a haircut, which is very likely, mm-hmm. you know, what do? I mean, you can shop in the Emporium or whatever, but, you know, you got to make an effort to do that and set aside some time. And, you know, it's not always conducive to, you know, touring a theme park, if you will.
Well, face it, it's always busy. And if it wasn't, it would be gone, because Disney's not going to use that perfect place of real estate to keep a barbershop that's not making money.
No, yeah, I mean, making money, I don't think. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen, they ran I think it was part of one of the specials that was on the Travel Channel or whatever, but there's a couple barbers there, and his name escapes me right now, but he's been there for, I think, over 30 years. And he has clients. There are clients that from all over the world that will fly into Orlando just to get their hair cut. I mean, obviously, they're probably very wealthy people to be able
think?
To do that. But yeah, he was telling me one time, I saw it. I saw it on the thing, and then I asked him while I was in there, because I think there's only two, maybe three barber seats in there. I think it might only be two. And so you're likely to get this guy, you know, your odds are pretty good on any given day. But yeah, he says he has regular customers, and quite a few of them that come in, you know, monthly or whatever it is to get a haircut, and they fly in, get their haircut, and then go back to wherever they're going or continue on their business trip having got their haircut at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, like I said, it has to be very profitable there.
Yeah, actually, you know, I wish I should have looked this up, but I was very shocked the first time I went there because I thought the same thing you did, and it was very reasonable. I'll
No,
bet
I
you.
don't know. I'm not saying expensive, but I'm saying they do the amount of volume to keep
Oh,
it there.
yeah.
That's my point. It's not that I heard it's no more. It's not much more than getting it at home. I know it's
Exactly,
around
exactly.
$20. I mean,
Right.
it isn't crazy numbers because I've looked into it before. But
Right.
my point is, for it to have that place of real estate there on Main Street,
Got ya.
if it wasn't doing good business, many
Right.
people are getting their hair cut. It would be gone for something else. It survived a long time there.
Yeah, it
And it's a
did. It.
good thing. It's you know, a little bit of history there.
Well, there's a little bit of history, and you know, being on Main Street, I mean, every Main Street USA in the country has a barber shop, I would assume. So it kind of goes with the decor. But it wasn't too many years ago, and I'm going to say too many years ago. That's actually a relatively new location. It used to be up on, if you were facing the castle, on the left-hand side, about halfway up the street. I remember that. And when they went, I think it was around the time when they renovated the Main Street Bakery. Last time, not this latest renovation with Starbucks, but they moved a bunch of the stores around, and that the barber shop was one that they moved from. I'm going to say like midway down the Main Street USA on the left, like I said, if you're facing the castle, and they moved it and tucked it around the corner there where it is today. So, you know, as with most things, they probably wanted more retail space. And I think that's when they added the, you may remember this, Doug, the Emporium used to be a lot smaller, or at least there wasn't as many doors that opened to Main Street.
Yeah,
And
I
I
know what you're
think
talking
that's,
about.
yeah, they blew out some of the walls and added some doors. And I'm pretty sure the barber shop used to be kind of like where all the hats are, the men's
Yeah.
hats and stuff, way at the end, closest to Casey's. I believe that's where the barber shop used to be.
Yeah, but just for them to keep it working and keeping it going, if it wasn't doing a good job, they would have just did away with it when they did the remodel, is what my point was.
Oh, absolutely, because as much as people may like it and like having it there, you're right. If it didn't turn a profit, they would sell something else in that location or blow the wall out, like I said, and give the Emporium, you know, more space to sell stuff.
Absolutely.
So, moving right along here, Be Our Guest restaurant lunch reservation changes. Starting on February 25th, you can book lunch at Be Our Guest restaurant 180 days out. And as kind of a unique thing, and I think they played around with this previously, you can pre-order your meals via the My Disney Experience app or the website. So what they're saying is your ordering window, if you do have an ADR booked for lunch there, is 30 days before and up to 5 days before. You can go on there and apparently choose what you want to eat so that when you get there, it's either ready or it will be ready
How the heck
shortly.
do you know what you want to eat 5 days
Yeah.
before you get there? I don't know what I want to eat sometimes 5 minutes before lunch.
Yeah, it's just more, you know, we just we recorded another podcast with a guest before this one, and we kind of covered some of this in that, you know, by the time you pick your resort hotel and you know, with Magic Band now, you got to know what park you're going to be at what day, so you can pick an ADR in a restaurant. And now they're even, you know, paring it down to what you're saying, Doug, to actually picking the food
I
item
will never do
potentially.
that. I will
Yeah.
never pick it because I don't know what. Okay, let me put it this way. If you're down there and say this is, say like we went in February. Now say, and I'm just using this as Columbia Harbor House because I know the menu so well. But say I'm down there in February and it's 85 degrees. I might want to go get a lobster roll that day. But
Right.
then if I'm there in February and it's 50 degrees, I might want the clam chowder.
Sorry, you already ordered. You're out of
And I
luck.
know you could change it probably. I don't think it's
Right,
you're
right.
set in stone, but I mean, come on, man. I could it's hard enough just to pick the restaurant knowing what day you're going to be at what park, let alone picking your meal. Half the fun is sitting down and opening up the menu and looking.
Well, like I said, my guess is this has more to do with they want to get you in and out of there as quickly as possible because it's so popular. I'm not saying I agree with that.
It's no popular. More money. It's about money. Don't say because it's popular.
Well, no, it's popular in that there are, you know, it's hard to get an ADR there. But the thought process probably is if the average family or party, whatever you want to call it, spends 27 minutes at a table because, you know, from start to finish, if they do this and they calculate out that they can get somebody out of there in 18 minutes, that's more times they can turn that table over, and then it gets to what you said, i.e. more money at the end of it. So
yeah, because they're saying if they said it could be up to like a half hour before you go or 20 minutes before you go, you can make your order. I'd be on board for that. Like if I'm sitting waiting in line at Space Mountain and I have 5 minutes to get on my Disney Experience and we're going to lunch right after this, that would be cool because then I would kind of have an idea what I'm looking for.
Right.
But 5 days prior, I have no clue what I want to eat.
Yeah, no, it's an excellent point. I don't disagree with you. I don't think I would participate in this as well. And I don't know if they're going to build this out to include more restaurants or this is just unique to be our guests, but we shall see.
This restaurant likes messing with everything. It's starting to become my least favorite restaurant just because of all the pain in the butt that it is.
Yeah, I mean, they did that thing where you can't stand on the bridge and you can't be in line. And, yeah, there's been a lot of weird, quirky things with this restaurant. I totally agree with you, Doug.
It's weird. It's like an uppity-uppity restaurant in the Magic Kingdom. It's like it's the unhappiest restaurant on Earth. I mean, it's just it's just miserable.
And I know I said this before, and I'm sure I'm going to disappoint a lot of people, but, you know, I've eaten here twice now. To me, nothing special. It's okay, but, I mean,
I'd rather eat at the Columbia Harbor House myself.
I was just going to say the Plaza. I mean, I agree. I don't, you know, it's good, but it's, you know, I wouldn't go through or jump through hoops to get an ADR here. I mean, I'd eat there again.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Absolutely.
It's a gorgeous place, but it's like it just wants to aggravate you. Like, why did it take this long to be able to take ADRs?
Yeah, I don't get it. I guess they're using this as the guinea pig for their restaurants to try to experiment with different things. But
no, it's just like they knew it was so popular and they were just making it to where, you know, everything has to be a jump through a hoop to get into this place or do something there. It's put a bad taste in my mouth, no pun intended, by all the aggravation it causes.
Right. No, I can't disagree with you. I think it is a bit weird, but it is what it is, at least for. As with most Disney restaurants right now, there is a $10 per guest no-show fee. So if you do book an ADR and don't show up, they're going to tag your credit card for 10 bucks a head.
I'm 100% behind that.
Yeah, I think that's done a lot to free up a lot of ADRs. I totally agree with
just
you.
Because the people that were so about themselves, we've talked about you people before. If you listen to the show, we do love you, but when you would take it and go and book, people would go and book a restaurant at every single resort at 6, I mean every park at 6 o'clock, just so they could make sure they had one for every park. That is pretty rude in my opinion. And the biggest thing is not to cancel.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We have covered this, and this was a pet peeve of mine. And you know, I've done this many, many times. Not that I'm perfect, but I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a theme park, and we knew we weren't going to make an ADR. This was before they had the $10 fee, but we weren't going to make an ADR or our whatever reason. And you can just walk up to any kiosk in any restaurant, and if you tell them, gee, one time I can remember in particular, we were at Hollywood Studios, and I think we had an ADR, I don't know where it was, some other park, let's just say. So I went up to 50s Prime Time and went to the kiosk, and I said, look, we're going to stay here for Fantasmic tonight, and we're not going to park hop, blah, 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 but we have an ADR at such and such place. And you know, the person or the cast member at the podium was very nice, and she says, oh, thank you very much for letting us know. She typed it right in, took it out of the system, and, you know, hopefully some other family that was trying to get in that restaurant was able to because we canceled. And, again, it took me all of, you know, 30 seconds to do it. And to me, it's the right thing to do.
Absolutely. We've done that so many times. I've never booked two for the at different parks ever because it's just not the right thing to do. But I have booked them where I've turned around and called that day. I booked reservations at 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning, thinking we're going to go somewhere. And then, like you said, things change. I make sure I get right on the phone or go to wherever guest services and cancel it. It's just proper because if say you had one for Le Cellier, how nice would it be if another family's walking up and, let's just try this, honey, to see if there's one for 6 o'clock.
Yep.
And they got it.
Right.
Instead, they're sitting with an empty table in there. Not that it hurts them, but it hurts a family that could have eaten there.
Well, you know, it's like we said before, you know, the reason we have the $10 per head no-show fee is because of the reason that you just outlined for people that do this. So all those people that are complaining about the $10 per head fee, if you've in the past or it's customary for you to make multiple reservations at multiple restaurants at the same time, you kind of did it to yourself, I guess is all I could say.
Yeah, I hear you. It's just the proper thing to do, in my opinion.
No, I totally agree. Let's see. Moving right along here, I'm just going to cover some of the main refurbs and stuff just so folks that are going down this spring/summer have some sort of idea as to what may be closed. But the Liberty Square Riverboat is going to be closed August 4th through the 10th. The Liberty Tree Tavern, which we've mentioned before, is going to be closed from July 6th to November 20th.
I've been watching that Sons of Liberty on History Channel. It makes me want to go eat at the Liberty Tree Tavern.
Yeah, there you go. You're feeling up.
I got a hankering for some Liberty Tree.
There you go. let's see here. The Jungle Cruise is going to be closed April 13th through May 8th. It's a Small World, just for, looks like, 5 days here, March 10th through the 15th. Cali River Rapids is going to be closed the 10th through the 13th of March as well. Big Thunder Mountain, a small closure, March 4th to March 7th. And then the Harmony Barbershop on Main Street, USA, will be closed from the 16th of February through March 30th. So those are some closings to be aware of if you're heading down during any of these times. Keep this in mind.
And I got one little piece to add to all that, too. They did announce that the July operating hours are out. So speaking of ADRs and all restaurants and stuff like that, a lot of times we decide on where we're going to eat by the hours that each park is open. And I think you agree with that. That has a lot to do with your planning. So if you're going down in July, the whole month of July, the park hours are up now on Disney's website. So if you want to go look at them, check them out.
Yeah, they've been doing a good job lately of getting those out in a timely manner so people can plan. And kind of like we just covered with all the planning you need to do now with My Disney Experience, you need to know what's going on in the parks. And, you know, I know some people don't take the time to look at what the you know, the extra magic hours are in the morning or in the evening, rather, and early entry times. But all of that stuff kind of goes with your planning because and your ADRs, because if a park is open later, the restaurant may be open later. And, you know, it just all goes hand in hand. So you do need to be aware of those park hours.
Yeah, and it has a lot to do with where you're bouncing from. You're going to do lunch at Yak and Yeti or you're going to do dinner. It all depends on how late the Animal Kingdom's going to be open. If Epcot has extra magic hours, 9 times out of 10, I'm eating there.
Right, right.
Because I want to stay till I want to take advantage. I want to be in that park as late as humanly possible.
Right, because you don't get too much opportunity to do that. And I've never done it. No, I haven't. But, you know, to see that park at night is, you know, a whole different ball of wax, if you will. And that must be nice to see the different lights and how they illuminate the Tree of Life and all that stuff. So,
oh, absolutely. I have to honestly admit that I make the least amount of ADRs at the Magic Kingdom out of any of the parks.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. We tend to jump on the monorail and go to the Contemporary or the Poly or somewhere else rather than eat at the Magic Kingdom, generally speaking, you know, and not that this is a novel opinion, but, you know, the Magic Kingdom's lacking for quality restaurants. I really sit-down restaurants anyways. I really believe that.
Yeah, I mean, us, and I said it a million times, we've done the review. 80% of the time, not 90, but 75-80% of the time, it's Columbia Harbor House now. Before that, it used to be Pecos Bills, and we'll go back there every once in a while. Just the older I get, the less red meat I want.
Right, right.
It's just that's what it's all about. It isn't about the first 10 years of our travels down there was Pecos Bills. You know, we get burgers at Pecos Bills. Every once in a while, we'd hop into Pinocchio Village over there.
Yep.
You know, get some Village chicken. House, yeah. Get some chicken fingers or whatever. But now, I'd say our last 10 trips, we've done Tony's a couple times and we've done the Plaza. But every other time we've eaten has basically been at the Harbor House.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, Magic Kingdom, I got to assume the long-term plans are to put a couple more restaurants in there, but for whatever reason, it's just, you know.
They keep redoing Cinderella's Royal Table, and it never gets better.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
just gets higher in price and the food gets worse.
Right.
No, I've never seen anything like it.
Totally agree with that. I wouldn't spend my dining dollars there, that's for sure.
I mean, we're the weirdos, I think, online for the most part. Is me and my wife have eaten the Tony's a few times. We've had none but good experiences there, so I can't complain about that.
Right,
it's just
right.
Most of the time at the Magic Kingdom, I don't know. It's too hustle. I'd rather just grab counter service there for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, the last sit-down we did, I mean, we could do the Crystal Palace once in a while, but again, you don't always want a buffet, and, you know, that's a lot of food and all that, so we tend to stay away from that now. But other than the Crystal Palace, pretty much, yeah, Columbia Harbor House for us, or just maybe, you know, eating in one of the, you know, the snack options, if you will, or going to, what do you call it, where you get the pork shanks there over at, I can't think of the Gaston's.
I'm losing my mind. Yeah, Gaston's is very
right.
Good. Gaston's Pub. And
yeah.
I mean, you know, I like going over and getting my Dole Whip and, you know, and then you have Cosmic Rays. Which, I mean, it's mostly counter service. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
I mean, to be our guest to try it, but like you said, it was you weren't blown away by it.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, the food was good, but it wasn't, you know, oh, we got to get back here, or you know, I'll kill for an ADR. Not the case. I mean, if I didn't get back there for a couple of years, I'd be good with that.
Yeah, I mean, if I never do, it's not killing me right now. I'm more into, like I said, I sitting down to me. Every restaurant at World Showcase, to me, is the place to be at night to eat dinner.
Right, right.
Any of them. I've never had a bad meal at World Showcase. Have you?
No, no. I mean, just the atmosphere alone. I mean, aside from the food, which is important, obviously, but just that whole atmosphere there. I mean, I'd much rather be in the World Showcase at any one of the restaurants around the lagoon there than at the Magic Kingdom. I mean, it's almost like a waste. I agree with you. I say hop on the monorail and go to the TTA and cruise on over to Epcot if it's not too late and eat there instead of trying one of the, you know, one of the restaurants we mentioned at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's the Magic Kingdom is, and I think it's designed that way, but the counter services are the way to go. They need to 100%. We talked about the Plaza on $40 a day. I do enjoy that. But
yep.
Like we said, it's mostly sandwiches. The meatloaf's good, but you have to be in the mood for meatloaf.
Yeah, right. If it's 98 degrees out and humid, you're probably not going to be wanting to eat meatloaf. But, you know, that's just me.
It's like, where do you go in the Magic Kingdom for good seafood?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, the best seafood in the Magic Kingdom is probably Columbia Harbor House.
Yeah, you're probably right. I agree.
I mean, the salmon was good at Tony's, but you get my point. There's nothing. There's never been a meal in the Magic Kingdom that I walked away from like, oh, my goodness, I can't wait to go back for this.
Right. You know, the only thing I can think of, the reason why they don't put a lot into the dining in the Magic Kingdom is maybe because they look at it as, you know, and I know this is stereotyping, but, you know, mostly people with young kids go there and young kids really don't care. They'd rather just have chicken, whatever. And, you know, so they don't really stress over, you know, quote unquote, fine dining locations. I mean, I'm not saying that's right, but I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wish they'd up their game a little bit in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I mean, I've heard on other shows they were talking about the studios. The only thing I can say about the studios is I think their food's good there.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously have the Brown Derby, which is, one of the best restaurants on property, and even some of the mid-tier restaurants, if you will, are very good, 50s Prime Time or one of those. I mean, yeah.
Even Hollywood and Vine, if you want a buffet, it's good.
Yeah, no, I got to admit, there's, any of them restaurants are fine. I mean, even Mama Melrose's, we've eaten there probably four or five times over the years, and that's kind of like Tony's. That's always gets kind of not poor reviews, but it's just all right.
See, the problem is you get, and I understand it, and you kind of like you're a snob with seafood. Mm-hmm. You get your Italian snobs. I think there's more Italian snobs, and I love you, Italy. I love Italian food. I'm not trying to pick on you,
right.
But every Italian loves their own gravy, and
yep.
I mean, it's not a snob, but it's like they like what they like, and I think Italians are more, and people, not Italians in general, but people who want Italian food.
Right.
If they
right.
have a local restaurant, like we have a couple here, that you become so attached to their gravy and
right.
the way they make things that you kind of don't, they compare it and they criticize
right.
more than any other food, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, especially, if you come from the Northeast up here, you're in and around New
South
York
Philly.
City. Yeah, any of them places. I mean, they're world-renowned for their Italian food. So rather than just judge the food or the Italian food in the restaurants at Disney for what it is, you're right. They're comparing it to what they get back home, and chances are you're not going to be able to, meet that standard, if
like,
you will.
What's one of the biggest things to complain about on property? The pizza.
Exactly.
I mean, the pizza to me is fine. It isn't as good as my local establishments and
right.
that have done it for 40, 50, 60 years.
Right.
But it's not bad pizza, man. I mean, I bet you if I went into the people's house to complain about it, have a box of Elio's or a French bread pizza Stouffer's in their freezer.
Right.
I guarantee
right.
it, and I guarantee they eat it. But they'll go down there and say, this pizza don't taste as good as it should. Well, dude, it's not bad food. It's fresh. It's made that day.
Right.
But,
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, I got pizza from the before they changed over to the what do they call that? Actually, we're going to talk about that. Trattoria El Forno.
Trattoria.
But if you remember Cat Cora, they used to have a pizza window there right on the boardwalk.
Yes.
That used to get trashed, too. And I remember one of the trips I went down, just my daughter and I, a few years back, we got pizza out of there, and we thought it was delicious. I mean, I don't know what everybody's complaining about, but, you're at Disney
but
World.
Made a pie from New York City, I mean,
right.
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Not Brooklyn. Or right now, the South, they want Italian pizza from New York City.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit different because, obviously she's not from there, and it had kind of a Greek twist to it, if you will. But it was delicious. We enjoyed it and actually brought it back to the room. And,
We do Greek pizza with pine nuts and arugula on it. My wife loves it.
Right.
It's without,
right.
It's without cheese. It's like, you understand? It's like it has
yep.
like a Parmesan on it, but it don't have mozzarella or, a ricotta.
Yeah, yeah.
It just,
yep.
It's awesome. We do it on the pizza stone, but it's like everybody gets so, the worst place in the studios to me is, and you go there because you want the atmosphere to see it once, is the Sci-Fi Dinner Theater.
Right, right, right.
I mean, the cars are cool. The drive-in's awesome, but the food stinks for the price.
Right. Yeah, I haven't been in there in a few years now. I mean, we ate there when the kids were small. You're right. I mean, obviously.
It's cool sitting in the car and seeing
it. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't even tell you what I had or what's on the menu. But, you're right. You're there for the ambiance more than anything else.
I mean, their New York strip steak in there is $32. I mean, I mean, they have the famous All-American Picnic Burger. It's made of broad Angus. It's an Angus burger, but it's $18 with fries.
Wow!
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's kind of like a table, not a table, but a window service, if you will. What am I trying to say here? It's a sit down restaurant, but the food isn't really of sit down quality. I guess is what I'm saying.
The salmon BLT. There's a lot of things. Smoked turkey sandwich. It's $14, $15, which aren't bad. But like, build your own Angus burger with fries, cheddar cheese, and Swiss. $17, $16.49.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, that's a lot for a hamburger, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, the prices are kind of crazy. I mean, we were talking about a couple shows ago with the, the $10 oatmeal. It just, where is it going to end?
But the thing of it is I could understand paying that for certain things. But when I go to Pecos Bills, that burger better be great. You know what I'm saying? It's usually not, it's good, but I could go to Pecos Bills and probably get a better burger.
I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, because Pecos Bills, I do have to admit, have you ever had a bad meal there?
No, I mean, that was an old standby. Again, when the kids were smaller, we used to eat there more regularly. We don't get there as much, now, or if we do, it's just for lunch or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, it's always been good and consistent there.
I mean, their third pound, they have an Angus burger, too. It's $10.79. I mean, how is the other one worth $8 more? I mean, I know it's not. I mean, I know you're getting waited on, but you're still tipping the waiter. So it ends up being, as we talk, you have to tip your waiter.
At least
so now
$5.
It becomes a $23 burger.
Right. All right.
You know.
Yeah, no, saying? no doubt about it.
I'm not going to sit down and eat a hamburger. That's just me. No, that's my point. I don't think it's worth going to a restaurant where you're going to end up getting the burger as your sit-down meal. Down at a table service.
Right. I mean, it may make some sense at lunchtime as opposed to dinner, but generally speaking, I agree with you. I mean, you can get probably the same burger, same quality, same roll, same everything at a, counter service, if you will, and save some money.
Now, speaking of that, you got your trip coming up. We're going to not go too much longer on this show, but what ADRs, what are you excited about eating at then? You're going in, what, 32 days now or something?
30 days from today. Hopefully we'll be in Walt Disney World. But anyways, yeah, I mean, we booked just a handful of ADRs because there's six of us going down, and it's a large group, so we didn't want to monopolize every dining opportunity, if you will, because we're going to do some things together and then some things, we're going to go our own way. So anyways, over the 8 days that we're going to be there, we're eating at, my wife and I are eating at, I should say, dinner will be Rose and Crown, which you shamed me into that. I had to do that.
I'm clapping over here. Finally.
Yes. No, I told you I'd do that, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I've eaten there many times, but I need to get a particular item on the menu.
What would that be, then?
I'm going to get the burger, I think.
You get the burger.
The Angus burger.
I might have to drive down there and give you what for.
Right, right. No, I'm going to, we're going to obviously get the bangers and mash, and I think I might do what Bob and Mrs. All and WTW did, and that they kind of got the bangers and mash for an appetizer. We may do that. That way we can have two entrees, and we can share that, and maybe my wife will order something else so that we can, try some more things on the menu. I know... Hearing, I think it was Lou that did a dining review there. I heard good things about the Scotch egg. I don't know if you've ever had that there, but people were ranting and raving about that. I believe that's on the appetizer menu, but I'm looking forward to trying that as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. Everything is in there. My wife loved the salmon there.
Yeah.
The salmon's very good. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing, I wouldn't go. I mean, the steaks are good there. The grilled New York strip with the fried fish, but I try to stay away from fried fish, but it is very good.
Right.
Because it's like their fish and chips, you follow me? And their fish and chips are incredible.
And now, is it the same stuff that they serve at the fish and chip window, or is it a separate deal?
It's the same, but different. I mean, it's a little, I think you get maybe a hair more at the dinner, you understand what I'm saying? But they're still battered in the same recipe.
Oh, okay. All right. If you like that fish, you're going to like the fish or the steak and fish that you get in the Rose and Crown.
Yeah, the great thing of it is the bangers and mash, Dennis, for dinner is only $14.99. How crazy is that?
Oh, that's awesome. I'll have enough money to get a snack out in the World Showcase afterwards, too.
Yeah, the Scottish egg, you'll like it. It's a it's a fried egg, so it's fried, so you'll like it.
What's inside?
It's a golden fried hard boiled egg wrapped in sausage meat and a mustard sauce. It's very good.
That does sound good.
Yeah, you're gonna like it.
Now I know why I want to get it, but yeah, I'll have to try that out. But yeah, getting back to but I am looking forward to finally having the Bangers and Mash show that I can be in the club with you and Bob.
I don't think you're gonna want to share it. That's all I'm telling you.
All right, well, we shall see. I will definitely be doing a full report with pictures on the night that we go there, so we'll have fun.
And I want one freeze-dried and sent home for me dry ice.
If I can figure out how to do that, I just may do it.
Oh, I would love you forever, Dennis. You'd be my Valentine next week.
Okay, all right. We'll see what we can do.
I'm not getting it now, I know that.
Let's see. Also, and this is one of the nights that the six of us are going out together. We got a ADR at the Raglan Road, which we love. I mean, I don't know if you've eaten there, Doug, but we love it there. Just the atmosphere and the bread service there, and they have that Guinness reduction dipping oil or whatever it is. And it just every time we've been there, we're not pleasantly surprised, but kind of blown away by the quality of food that we've gotten there. You know, it's just something we look forward to going back to time and time again. And
so what's your go-to dish usually there?
I've gotten the fish and chips before, and I have the same question, and I don't know the answer to it. I know they got that the fish of Dublin there that's on the adjacent wall. I'm assuming it's all part of the same establishment.
Mm-hmm.
I probably won't get that. I'm trying to think. We had some soup there last time that was fantastic. I just don't remember what it was. But with the six of us there, it'll be the same thing. Well, hopefully there's enough people that order different things that we can share and try some different things. Because
Shepherd's pie is good, Dan.
Yeah, I think my wife had that last time, if I'm not mistaken. But but again, yeah, I'm a creature of habit, and it's hard once I get in there and I see the menu, and once I've had something and I like it, it's hard to get off it. But I hope to try something different this time out.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that, how's your future daughter-in-law? Maybe how's she doing?
She's on the mend. Still up in the air whether or not it's going to work out or not. But every day she gets a little bit better, so we got our fingers crossed.
Is everybody still going, or how's that working
out
for you?
Yeah, so far so good. Knock on wood. We're still
going. Okay, the reason I'm asking that is have you thought about maybe adding GECO to the ADRs?
Yeah, we did. I floated that trial balloon, and that got shot down, so I was overruled on that. So
who shot it down?
Just everybody. Everybody in general. Not because we don't like GECO, just because they enjoy the California grill so much. And like I said, it's tied to family memories and all that stuff. So I couldn't argue with that. So we're going to
I hear you.
Cali grill.
Well, it ain't like you're going to go somewhere nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm good with it. I mean,
I just wanted to see you try something new. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I will at some point. I mean, I'm trying to I'll get to the last two here, and we can wrap this up. But and obviously, after the California Grill is another one that the six of us are going to. And I was lucky enough to be able to snatch an 8:50 p.m. ADR. So I'm hoping that I didn't even look. I don't know if the fireworks are at 9 or at 10 that night. But if they're at 10, we'll have to just slow it on down and
order take some drinks up on the roof.
Appetizers. Yeah, and I've done that many a time. Even if we're finished dinner at that point, they allow you to go out on the balcony, if you will, so you still can see Wishes and or whatever fireworks show is playing, and they pipe the sound in, so that's all good.
Well, you better bring your wallet with you for that one, Dennis, at the California Grill.
Oh, yeah, I'm figuring it's going to be $5 anyways when it's all said and done, or in and around there. One
especially when they got flounder, which I love flounder. Do you like flounder?
Oh, yes, that's a nice white fish. I love flounder.
Yeah, their Atlantic flounder meal. I mean, it looks awesome, but it's $42 just for the flounder.
Wow.
It has some crab meat in it, but it better have some good crab. It has a crab and citrus salad. It really looks good.
Right. Oh, it's one of those things. I mean, you go into the Cali Grill or you go into
it's beautiful.
I mean, but, you know, it's not cheap. And, you know, not to rail on prices. I mean, they are what they are. And we know going in it's going to be an expensive night. So I'm not, you know, we've saved our money up and we know we're doing it and we're just going to have a good time. And
oh, absolutely. You're going to have a blast.
Not worry about the price.
Now, you're going to book your – you're going to call you up and say, Dennis, you got to tell me what you're eating. What are you looking at so far?
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I've looked at the menu, but I don't know what I'm going to be eating.
What's your go-to? Do you have a go-to there or no?
The steak I've gotten before, and I think I told you on one of the trip reports. Although I don't really eat sushi, I have dabbled in it there because of Yoshi. And
okay,
yeah, I would even consider maybe getting an appetizer of maybe a California roll or something like that with the wasabi.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that is good. That I can eat, and obviously it's nothing, you know, there's not even any fish in it to speak of, so it's not bad. But
yeah, their oak-fired filet beef is really good there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember what we had last time. I don't remember. Everything we've always had there has been excellent, though, and, you know, the desserts, I think they have a chocolate lava cake or something like that that's fantastic. So again, we're looking.
Have you ever tried bison before, Dan?
Yes, I have actually.
It's good. It has a different gamey taste to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit different. You know, it's not something I would, you know, if you're with the Wilderness Lodge, I know they have a lot of those exotic meats on the menu, but
well, they have a bison filet mignon on that menu too at the Contemporary now. That's why I was bringing it up.
I wouldn't order that just because if I'm spending that much money, I definitely want to order something I know I'm gonna not just like but love. And with the bison, it may or may not, because of what you just said, it has a more wild/gamey taste. I'm not taking any chances.
And where's your last two ADRs so far?
Actually, one more we have, and this is just my wife and I, and I mentioned it earlier, the Trattoria El Forno, which is the new restaurant on the boardwalk that replaced Cat Cora's restaurant. So, you know, unfortunately, I've you know, and again, you can't go by what a couple of people say, but I have seen this restaurant reviewed by a couple of the well-known Disney podcasts and food blogs and such, and it's not getting very good reviews right now. Actually, Pam Forrester reviewed this on the Be Our Guest podcast, and she was less than pleased with what they had. And too, she has a good system. She says whenever she goes to a restaurant or any restaurant, whether it's Disney or anywhere else, she gives it three chances. In other words, she'll chalk it up to maybe it was just a bad night or something was off that night, or maybe they're so new they haven't really hit their stride yet. So although she says it wasn't as good as she would have liked it to be, she's definitely going to go and try it again and give it another shot.
Well, allears.net gives it a 7.3 out of 10, which isn't bad.
No, that's on the good side, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember when we talked about this restaurant back in the summertime, and I remember you and I were both excited. And as I recall, a lot of the menu, it's not spaghetti and meatballs for the most part.
No, the baked lasagna looks good. They have chicken breast, pork chops, eggplant, rollatini, shrimp. So they have a good braised beef bolognese. So they have some good options here. And the prices are very good. They don't seem too bad. The $20 range, $15 to $25 range is on average, right? Which that's a good price point.
For Disney, yeah, it is a good price point. And yeah, like you said, Doug, I know there was quite a bit of seafood on the menu, which you typically don't get in an Italian restaurant in Disney World. But I think what they're trying for here is, you know, to represent all areas of Italy and the different culinary dishes that represent those areas. So you know, I'm hoping for something different than the regular, like I said, spaghetti and meatballs. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, that's fine. But I think you're going to be able to get some somewhat unique things in this restaurant that maybe you wouldn't think you'd be able to get.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy yourself. I can't wait for all the restaurant reviews.
Yeah, we'll have a lot to discuss. And, you know, as we go forward here the next couple of weeks, you know, we got some guests coming on, but sprinkled in there, we can do a pre-trip report for me, and you can give me some homework to do and different things you want me to do while I'm down there, so I can report back to you and the listeners, and we'll have some fun.
Yeah, that's going to be it for this week's show. We would love you guys. Please go over to Facebook and check us out, and on Twitter, and please give us some reviews over on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And if you guys could you please put your thoughts and prayers out for my sister-in-law? She's going through some medical things. We'd really appreciate your prayers. And check out the Ike Foundation. We had Mike Iaconelli on a show, so if you could, please check out his foundation for the kids over at Ike Live. And you got anything else, Dan?
No, that's it. I'm going to, as soon as we get done here, I'm going to head out and start shoveling and dealing with that whole issue. So I guess I will speak to you next week, and we'll have another great show for the listeners.
Take care, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.